بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. ایک سلسلہ گفتگو میں فرمایا کہ آج کل تو اکثر اہل علم سے بھی امید بہت کم ہو گئی کہ آئندہ ایسے امور کی اصلاح کرے جن میں عام ابتلا ہے، کیونکہ یہ لوگ خود ہی قابل تربیت ہیں. ایک طالب علم آئے تھے مراد آباد سے، انہوں نے یہاں سے جا کر اعتراض کے طور پر لکھا کہ تم نے جو اوقات کا انضباط کیا ہے، خیر القرون میں یہ انضباط نہ تھا، اس لیے بس یہ سب بدعت ہے. مگر جواب کے لیے نہ ٹکٹ تھا نہ کارڈ، اگر ہوتا تو میں جواب لکھتا کہ تم نے جو مراد آباد کے مدرسے میں پڑھا ہے وہاں پر بھی اسباق کے لیے اوقات کا انضباط تھا کہ 8 بجے تک فلا سبق اور 9 بجے سے 10 بجے تک فلا سبق اور 2 بجے سے 4 بجے تک فلا سبق، یہ بھی خیر القرون میں نہ تھا، لہٰذا یہ بھی بدعت ہوا. اس بنا پر آپ کا سارا علم جو بدعتی طریق پر حاصل کیا گیا ہے نامبارک اور ظلماتی ہے. بلکہ اگر بدعت کے یہ معنی ہے جو ان حضرات نے سمجھے ہیں کہ جو چیز خیر القرون میں نہ ہو تو خیر القرون میں تو ان کا بھی وجود نہ تھا، بس یہ بھی مجسم بدعت ہوئے. کیا خرافات ہے؟ تحصیل علم کرنے والوں کے فہم کی حالت ہے، عوام بیچاروں کی تو کیا شکایت کی جائے، جبکہ لکھے پڑے علم کے مدعی اس زمانے میں بکثرت اس قدر بدفہم اور کم عقل پیدا ہو رہے ہیں. ان بزرگ کو بدعت کی تعریف بھی معلوم نہیں، یہ انضباط کسی کے اعتقاد میں عبادت تو نہیں، اس لیے ان کا خیر القرون میں نہ ہونا اور اب ہونا بدعت کو مستلزم نہیں. میں نے حیات المسلمین روح ہشتم نمبر 3 میں ایسے انتظامات کے متعلق لکھ دیا ہے. چنانچہ ایک آیت میں ہے کہ اس بات سے نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کو ناگواری ہوتی ہے سو وہ تمہارا لحاظ کرتے ہیں اور زبان سے نہیں فرماتے کہ اٹھ کر چلے جاؤ، اور اللہ تعالیٰ صاف بات کہتے ہیں، اللہ تعالیٰ صاف بات کہنے سے کسی کا لحاظ نہیں کرتے. سورہ احزاب اسی واسطے خود فرما دیا اذا دعیتم فادخلوا اذا طعمتم فانتشروا. اور اس مقام میں جس طرح شان انتظامی کی تعلیم ہے، اسی طرح حضور اقدس صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے اخلاق پر دلالت سے جیسا کہ استحیے سے معلوم ہوتا ہے، اللہ اکبر کیا انتہا ہے آپ کی مروت کی کہ آپ کے اپنے غلاموں کو بھی یہ فرماتے ہوئے شرماتے تھے کہ اب اپنے کاموں میں لگو، مگر یہ لحاظ اپنے ذاتی معاملات میں تھا، احکام کی تبلیغ میں نہ تھا. اور اس باب میں بہت نصوص ہیں. اب یہاں کے قواعد اور ان ضوابط کے متعلق ایک غیبی لطیفہ سنیے. ایک صاحب مخلص اور دوست یہاں پر مہمان ہوئے، ان کے ساتھ ان کا ملازم ایک بیریش لڑکا تھا. قانون یہاں پر یہ ہے کہ شب کو بیریش لڑکا خانقاہ میں نہیں رہ سکتا، مگر چونکہ ان سے بہت خصوصیت کا تعلق تھا اور ان کی نگرانی پر اعتماد بھی تھا، اس لیے ان سے کچھ نہیں کہا گیا، بلکہ کہتے ہوئے شرمایا، غرض یہ کہ وہ شب کو ماں اپنے اس ملازم کے خانقاہ میں مقیم رہے، صبح کو بعد نماز فجر کہنے لگے کہ رات بری ہی طبیعت کو انتشار رہا. وہ یہ کہ میں نے رات کو خواب میں حضرت حافظ زامن صاحب کو دیکھا کہ بہت خفا ہوئے ہیں کہ بے ریش لڑکے کو لے کر خانقاہ میں کیوں قیام کیا. میں نے کہا کہ قانون تو یہاں کا یہی، مگر محض آپ کے لحاظ سے اس کا اظہار نہیں کیا گیا، مگر آج معلوم ہوا کہ یہاں زندہ ہی منتظم نہیں، مردے بھی منتظم ہیں. یہ مزاحن کہا گیا. پھر میں نے کہا کہ اب سے امرت کو ساتھ مت لانا، اور مجھ کو بھی اس خواب پر بڑا تعجب ہوا، اس لیے کہ ان کو خبر بھی نہ تھی کہ یہ معمول ہے، اس لیے قوت متخیلہ کا بھی احتمال نہ تھا. ایک مولوی صاحب نے عرض کیا کہ حضرت کیا غصہ تکبر کی وجہ سے آتا ہے؟ فرمایا نہیں، حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کو بھی غصہ آتا تھا، تو کیا نعوذ باللہ وہاں بھی یہی منشا تھا؟ کبھی غیرت اس کا منشا ہوتا ہے دینی یا دنیاوی، کبھی طبعاً ذوف تحمل اس کا سبب ہوتا ہے. ان دونوں میں کبر کا کوئی دخل نہیں، البتہ اگر اس غصے کے اقتضا پر اس طرح پر عمل کیا جائے کہ وہ شریعت سے گزر جائے، وہ تکبر ہے، باقی امور طبعیہ میں انسان معذور ہے. ایک مولوی صاحب کو ترک لا یعنی کا مشورہ. ایک مولوی صاحب کے سوال کے جواب میں فرمایا کہ اگر قرآن و حدیث میں یا فقہ میں یا ائمہ مجتہدین کے اقوال میں شبہ ہو اس کو پوچھ سکتے ہیں، باقی دنیا بھر کے اقوال کی کہاں تک کوئی ذمہ داری کر سکتا ہے؟ اور میں آپ کو خیرخواہی سے مشورہ دیتا ہوں کہ جو حالت واقعی پیش آ جائے اور اس کے متعلق ضرورت ایسی ہو کہ بدون سوال کے ضرر کا اندیشہ ہو، صرف اس کو پوچھنا چاہیے. ایک اور بات بھی کام کی بیان کرتا ہوں، وہ یہ کہ جو شاگرد پڑھ رہا ہو یا مطب کر رہا ہو، اس کو تو حق ہے سوال کا، لیکن مریض کو فن کے متعلق سوال کرنے کا حق نہیں، اس کو تو اپنی حالت بیان کر دینے کا حق ہے۔ اس کے بعد طبیب کا اتباع کرے۔ جس زمانے میں کوے کا مسئلہ کا شور اور غل ہوا، بہت لوگ مجھ سے پوچھتے تھے، میں ان سے پوچھتا کہ کیا کھاؤ گے، کہتے نہیں، میں کہتا تو نہ بتاؤں گا، نہ تم پر پوچھنا فرض نہ مجھ پر بتانا فرض، اور عقیدہ کا مسئلہ نہیں، اور یہ عادت کی غیر ضروری چیزوں سے جن میں غیر ضروری سوال بھی آ گیا اجتناب رکھو، اسلام کی خوبی میں سے ہے۔ حدیث شریف میں ہے، من حسن اسلام المرء ترکہ ما لا یعنی۔ اس پر میرا ایک مستقل واعظ بھی ہے، اس کا نام ہے ترک ما لا یعنی، اس میں بالتفصیل اس پر بحث ہے، جس میں الحمدللہ مفید اور مضر کی تقسیم پوری طرح کر دی گئی ہے، اس کو دیکھ لیا جائے۔ اجزاء دین کی حفاظت کا اہتمام۔ ایک سلسلہ گفتگو میں فرمایا کہ فضولیات میں لوگ بکثرت مبتلا ہے۔ ایک صاحب نے لکھا کہ کیا مولوی ابو الخیر صاحب سے تمہاری کوئی گفتگو ہوئی جس میں وہ عاجز ہو گئے، اس کو ضرور تحریر فرمائے۔ میں نے لکھا، اگر تم کو وہ گفتگو نہ معلوم ہو تو کیا کچھ ضرر ہے؟ اس پر جواب میں لکھتے ہیں کہ اس سوال میں میرے نزدیک اہمیت ہے، اور ساتھ ہی یہ بھی لکھا تھا کہ اللہ تعالیٰ آپ کی عمر دراز کرے۔ میں نے جواب میں اس پر یہ اضافہ لکھا کہ ہاں، اس لیے کہ تمہاری ایسی بےہودہ درخواست پر نکیر کرتا رہوں، اگر میں وہ گفتگو لکھ دیتا خدا جانے اس سے کیا نتائج نکالتے۔ اسی طرح ایک شخص نے سوال کیا، بے لکھا پڑھا آدمی تھا، کہ اگر طالب اپنے شیخ کی صورت کا تصور کیا کرے تو یہ کیسا ہے؟ میں نے لکھا کہ یہ مشغلہ مقصود بھی ذات ہے، بلکہ جس طرح جہلا میں متعارف ہے وہ تو مقصود بد ذات ہے۔ نہ معلوم لوگوں کو ان فضولیات اور خرافات میں کیا لطف آتا ہے، یوں ہی بےہودہ بیکار وقت ہوتے ہیں کام کی ایک بات نہیں۔ ایک بزرگ نے بلا ضرورت کسی سے کوئی سوال کر لیا تھا، اس پر تنبیہ ہوئی، 30 برس تک روتے رہے کہ میں نے کیوں فضول سوال کیا، بڑی ضرورت ہے صحبت کامل کی، بدون اس کے دین کی حفاظت مشکل ہے۔ بزرگوں نے حفاظت دین کا بڑا اہتمام کیا ہے، خود حضرات صحابہ رضی اللہ عنہم کی طرف سے معلوم ہوتا ہے کہ ان کو اس حفاظت کا کس قدر اہتمام تھا۔ حضرت علی رضی اللہ عنہ نے جمعے کے روز نیا کرتا پہنا، پھر قینچی لے کر کلائے پر سے آستین کاٹ ڈالی۔ کسی نے پوچھا تو فرمایا کہ محض اس لیے کاٹ دی کہ میں اس کو پہن کر اپنی نظر میں اچھا معلوم ہوا۔ حضرت عمر فاروق رضی اللہ عنہ کو لوگوں نے دیکھا کہ مشک لیے ہوئے گھروں میں پانی بھرتے پھر رہے ہیں، وجہ پوچھنے پر فرمایا کہ رومی قاصد نے میرے عدل کی مدح کی تھی، اس کا علاج کر رہا ہوں۔ سیدنا ابوبکر صدیق رضی اللہ عنہ کو حضرت عمر رضی اللہ عنہ نے اپنی زبان ہاتھ میں لیے اور مارتے دیکھا، اور پوچھنے پر فرمایا، ھذا اورد للموارد، آخر یہ کیا چیز ہے؟ اگر صحابہ رضی اللہ عنہم سے یہ چیزیں منقول نہ ہوتی تو خشک لوگ یہ کہتے کہ ان صوفیوں کو جنون ہو گیا ہے، اور ان کو تو اب بھی کہتے ہیں۔ اتنا اہتمام تھا حضرت صحابہ رضی اللہ عنہم کو، جب کامیابی ہو سکی۔ اب اس کی وجہ ذرا وہ لوگ بتلائیں جو اس طریق کو بدعت کہتے ہیں۔ بات اصل یہ ہے کہ ہم نے امراض نفسانی کو پہچانا ہی نہیں، اگر پہچانتے تو کچھ تو اہتمام کرتے۔ اہل حق سے انعاد نہ ہونا غنیمت ہے۔ ایک مولوی صاحب کے سوال کے جواب میں فرمایا کہ یہ بھی نفع سے خالی نہیں کہ اگر انسان کچھ بھی نہ کرے تو کم از کم اس کو اہل حق سے انعاد تو نہ ہو، یہ انعاد بہت ہی خطرناک چیز ہے۔ محبت پیدا کرنے کا سہل طریقہ۔ ایک مولوی صاحب کے سوال کے جواب میں فرمایا کہ محبت پیدا کرنے کا بہت ہی سہل طریق ہے۔ میں نے ایک امی بزرگ سے بھی پوچھا تھا کہ خدا سے محبت کس طرح پیدا ہو، فرمایا کہ دونوں ہاتھوں کی ہتھیلی کو آپس میں ملا کر رگڑو۔ میں نے ایسا ہی کیا، دریافت فرمایا کہ کچھ گرمی معلوم ہوئی۔ میں نے عرض کیا کہ جی ہاں گرمی معلوم ہوئی، فرمایا بس یہی طریقہ ہے محبت پیدا کرنے کا، کثرت سے اللہ اللہ کر کے قلب کو رگڑا کرو، محبت پیدا ہو جائے گی۔ بعض بزرگ بھولے ہوتے ہیں مگر بیوقوف نہیں۔ ایک سلسلہ گفتگو میں فرمایا کہ بعض بزرگ بھولے ہوتے ہیں مگر بیوقوف نہیں ہوتے، بلا جس نے اپنے مالک کو راضی کر لیا یا راضی کرنے کے اہتمام میں لگ گیا، اس سے زیادہ کون عاقل ہوگا؟ اور جو شب و روز اپنے مالک کی نافرمانی اور گستاخیوں میں لگا ہو، اس سے زیادہ کون بیوقوف ہوگا؟ غرض نہ وہ بیوقوف ہوتے ہیں نہ دیوانہ ہوتے ہیں۔ ہاں، ایک کے دیوانے ہیں، اس دیوانگی کی نسبت یوں فرماتے ہیں، اور جن کو تم عاقل سمجھتے ہو اس عقل کے اس راہ میں پرکینچ ہے، عقل وہی ہے جس سے مالک کی پہچان ہو سکے، اور وہی عاقل ہے جو اپنے مالک کو پہچان لے، اگر یہ نہیں تو ایسی عقل کی نسبت میں فرماتے ہیں کہ بھولے پن پر یاد آیا، ایک مرتبہ وہی امی بزرگ جن کا ذکر اوپر کے ملفوظ میں ہے مدرسہ کانپور میں تشریف لائے، مدرسہ کا کام محض توکل پر تھا، میں نے کہا کہ حضرت اس مدرسے کی کوئی مستحکم بنیاد نہیں، دعا کیجئے۔ فرمایا کہ تم تو مولوی آدمی ہو، جانتے ہو کہ تمام عالم کا کارخانہ حق تعالیٰ کی قدرت سے چل رہا ہے، قدرت ہی ایک ایسی چیز ہے جو تمام عالم کو سنبھالے ہوئے ہے، تو کیا قدرت اتنے بڑے عالم کے کارخانے کو تو سنبھالے ہوئے ہے تمہارے مدرسہ کو نہ سنبھال سکے گی؟ اللہ پر نظر رکھو، یہ فرما کر دعا فرمائے، کیا ٹھکانا ہے اس عقل کا۔ مختلف بزرگوں سے ملنے میں اندیشہ۔ ایک مولوی صاحب کے سوال کے جواب میں فرمایا کہ مختلف بزرگوں سے ملنے میں آج کل اندیشہ ہے، اول تو بہت سو کی بزرگی ہی میں کلام ہے، محض رسم ہی رسم ہے، نام کے بزرگ اس زمانے میں بہت ہیں، کام کے بہت کم ہیں۔ ہاں اگر خود فہیم ہو کہ اندیشہ نہ ہو اپنے پھسلنے کا اور دوسروں کی مضرت کا اندیشہ نہ ہو تو مضائقہ نہیں۔ عرض کیا کہ دوسروں کی مضرت کا اندیشہ نہ ہو، یہ تو مشکل معلوم ہوتا ہے۔ فرمایا کہ اس کا بھی فہم سے تعلق ہے، اب اس کو آپ خود سمجھ لیں، میں نے تو ایک کلیہ بیان کر دیا، جزئیات کو آپ خود منتبک کر دیں۔
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم۔ Excessively. So you would say you want to become a kutub or a higher ranking saint, etc., you may go elsewhere. You come here to learn to become a man, admiyat. And the reason he would give is that when you become a man, then you'll know how to live a life not to hurt anybody, verbally, emotionally, right, physically, and you'll be so cautious about people, then how much more cautious will you be in the rights of Allah Ta'ala? So the whole idea is to take that precaution. If you look at the verse, لا تدخلوا بيوت النبي إلا أن يؤذن لكم إلى طعام غير ناسرين. Right? So what had happened was, it was around the walima of Zainab radiallahu anha. Rasulullah Baksam had arranged a good dawat for the sahaba, and now some people came before the time. So لا تدخلوا بيوت النبي إلا أن يؤذن لكم إلى طعام غير ناظرين إنا. So there's two adabs here. When you're not invited, you mustn't come. إلا أن يؤذن لكم. You have been called, you have been invited, then come in. Then إلى طعام غير ناظرين إنا. And you don't come so early, you're still waiting for its preparation. Right? Now they told you the dawat is at 2 o'clock. Now you came Zuhr time. Talimuddin Zuhr is 12:30 on a Sunday, right? Now the host feels a little bit cumbersome, he feels a bit constrained. What makes him constrained is, now I need to arrange for the food, right? It's coming on time, and see that everything is laid out, all that I need to do, right? Now this person has come so early, he's my guest. When he's my guest, then I have to show some consideration. I can't just ignore him. But now you put him into that constraints because of you coming long before the time. So see this emotions. Emotions also you must guard. غَيْرَ النَّاسِرِينَ إِنَا. Then the third adab, وَلَكِنْ إِذَا دُعِيتُمْ فَدْخُلُوا. Invited, it's alright, you come in. وَإِذَا طَعِمْتُمْ فَانْتَشِرُوا. And then when you have taken your meal, now disperse. Many times, it's my habit, I like to invite people. But now, after the invite, they want to sit and talk. Now that disturbs the whole program. Do some other work now, come to madrasa, look at some kitab, attend to someone else, right? Look at a phone call. So there's a lot of things to do. Now, the person that is coming, he is not considering all these things here. He feels, no, he is the man, and all the attention must be given to him, everything else can be ignored. So I say, is it not being considerate, inconsiderate? So if you knew what is consideration, you would have thought about all these things here. So this way he says that when you are a man, then you won't hurt anybody. I give a simple example. This person is very pious, very pious. But he's got a temper, right? It's temperamental. It's short fuse. It's when he's not sinful, but he's careful, he's cautious, cool person to work with, very, very calm, right? He's not a temperamental person. Now, these two people came to propose for your daughter. Which one you would prefer? You know, this man is temperamental. You know, what will happen? Yes, he's a pious person, does a lot of things, but he's got no ways. If he doesn't have that way, he's going to hurt someone, sometimes verbally, sometimes physically, sometimes emotionally, but he's going to hurt. But this person won't hurt. Because he knows what it is to be a man. Now, in our Buzuganadi, you'll find also a little bit of variance in the temperaments. The styles and the temperaments were different. Right? Now, if you didn't understand them, then you think why this Buzur is doing this and why this person is doing this. That's why, as I say, in my understanding, it's not appropriate to meet too many Buzurganadi. Too many mashayikh, to meet them is not appropriate. And since first it is doubtful whether they are Buzurganadin, they are mashayikh, the way is the style, you are in a doubt, in a dilemma, whether they are Buzurganadin, whether they are mashayikh. But now you'll find that variances in their very nature, right? They all adhere to the sunnah, but there's a difference. And when they got these differences, then they got it for reasons. Right? Now look at Hazrat Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, and then look compare him with Hazrat Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi. So Mullah had a very hard day, and now he's just gone to rest. One person wants to come and meet him. So those that were around told him, he had a very hard day. He's old now, he's aged, had a hard day. And he's just gone to rest. He said, no, I'm going for Hajj, I must meet him. Well, I said, I just lied down, and I was not asleep. Now, he made his way, and caught my hand, shaked it, everything, did everything. Now, it's over, I finished. Now, see the inconsiderate. You see, just for example, if 50 people thought like that, well, I could have rested. Now that's one temperament. Mustafa Rahmatullahi says about Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi, right? And he's going into Mewat in a very hilly, rocky area, right? As they came on top, there was some type of a shelter, and there were two beds there. So we are young students, Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi is aged, right? And he's not feeling too well. So we asked him to rest there, and we just sat down on this side, came out a little bit, so that he could rest nicely. In the meanwhile, the news spread out that Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi is around. So in hordes of people are coming in. Musa said that I could see Muhammad was very extremely tired. So Muhammad requested these people. Well, I just want to rest now. He'll get up and inshallah you meet him nicely. In the meanwhile, Muhammad Ilyas Sahib overheard this. So now his response, look at his response. He says, FTG, exact words, روکو مت آنے دو, روکو مت آنے دو, don't stop them, allow them to come. So he met each one, full mulaqat, with the mu'anaqa, everything, how are you, all that. They left. Then he addressed Mustab, he says, Talib ko kuch kehne ka haq nahi. You don't have the right to say this person anything. Jab tak wo aapke juti ko chapati samajhne lage. Because he holds you in so much of esteem and so much of respect that even your shoes, even his shoes, your shoes, he's prepared to keep it on his head. You know? But you don't have the right to tell him anything. But I see the response here and the response here. Now people see only one side and say, well, Ijazab did this. Now these different Buzugan Adin had to come in and illustrate the entire deen. Now look, when Muhammad Ijazab passed away, so Yusuf Rahmatullah used to insist that the Shaykh Rahmatullah was coming to spend the Ramadan in Nizamuddin. He is persisting, he used to come. Now, Yusuf Rahmatullah is much, he is junior, so he needs a little bit of support. His father left, and now he is the eldest in the family. He is the eldest, so Yusuf Rahmatullah will require some support. So to give him the support, he will come in. Now someone came and complained, I said, you know, your mu'takaf cubicle where you make your etikaf. So someone is enjoying from your pan. So my son's response was, it's meant to eat. What's the pan there for? To eat. So if he eats, it's kya baat hogi? What's the problem? And the Shaykh Ramta was there. The Shaykh said, if anybody eats from my pan, give him two shots and bring him to me. Now, can you see the both response? But if you didn't see this Buzugan properly, you won't understand the reason for the application. Why they applied themselves here like this, and why did they apply themselves like this. Now imagine if this person went away and he started applying the style of Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah anywhere, everywhere and anywhere, right? Would it result in a fight? Would it result in problems? There would be big problems now. Say, well, Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah could say this, then who are you now? When he could say, it's to eat now, to enjoy yourself. So I saw his pan, there would be a fight afterwards. And you say, no, you don't respect the Buzugan. So now, the Shaykh had to come in to show parameters. Well, Yusuf Ramta had to show a little bit of akhlaq, and the Shaykh Ramta had to show parameters. Right? That is why the Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had practiced on rukhsat. You see, there's some actions where there is rukhsat, is a concession, right? So he practiced on the rukhsat, on the concession, but all the ulama are unanimous that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will get the full sawab for practicing on the concession. Like for example, reading the namaz sitting down, right? So we will get half the sawab, but he will be blessed with the full sawab. The reason was that if Rasulullah didn't do so, then would people know parameters? That in nafil namaz, you can perform it standing, and you may perform it sitting as well. But now you didn't see the both sides, then you will create problems. Now, from here we go on to ghussa, right? To show anger. For a valid reason, to show anger is permissible. It's a valid reason. But now, that anger must be also proportionate to the crime. Wrong, and proportionate to the wrong must be the anger, right? Now, to go beyond that point, then that is not permissible. See now, people don't know these things here. but they don't know how to apply themselves, right? Now, something is mustahab, right? And you make a very big noise about it then, right? For example, now, you drink water, and you drink water in three steps. That's mustahab, right? But now you made such a big noise about it, and someone drank in one sip, as though this thing here will take you to Jahannam. Now, is that the right thing? أَعْطِي كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَقَّهُ. Everything, must do it, but see what's the level, what's the required level, understand the level, and then you practice accordingly. But now you didn't understand that, and on a small misdemeanor, and you let the person have it. See? But now, to show a little bit of anger is not haram. Hazrat Rahmat had taken one stance and he said, Hussa pasna aya. Don't allow that anger to come near you. The reason was people's ways had changed. Right? When people's ways had changed, then Hazrat Rahmat had to take a hard stance. Because he's seeing now the amount of trouble, the fights, the divorces, breaking of homes, right? And the oppression that was taking place. The wrong that was going on, so much was going on. So now just to bring that into control, he would say, don't even allow that anger to come even close to you. Keep it a mile away. So you had to do that. But that was the need of the time. People didn't know how to control the anger. So now, someone that is in this thing here, then he knows. You know, there was one child in the mother, I'm just showing you how it happens. So I saw him like, he's limping and as though he doesn't have the use of his right hand. So I felt sorry for him, said, what a problem, can we help you? So then he started crying. He said, no, it was the month of Ramadan and his stepfather, his mother was remarried, stepfather came into the house. Around iftar time, she laid everything properly and she was engaged in namaz, because now he's taking long to come, so she laid it out and she's doing her namaz. And meanwhile this man comes in. When he comes in, now he wants the presence of his wife. I told him, don't do this when I'm around. And in that fit of that anger, he took out his gun and he shot his wife dead, finished. Now the child is telling me what happened. Right? And we can see now, all of us can see that he is not in his mind. One child tried to defend, he shot him also. We were the next targets now, because man is violent. So we ducked under the bed or under the table. The one bullet got me as well. And then I lost. This whole right side of mine is more or less paralyzed. But you see this. So, the conditions of people have changed. They didn't know how to manage themselves. When they didn't know how to manage themselves, then he had to take this type of stance, then don't even let this come close to you. Right? Then that will explain, alright, see when there's a wrong. So, you don't respond to the wrong immediately. Pious, good in yourself. But you don't know how to manage yourself. When you are getting angry, you're out of control. When you're out of control, you're going to hit someone, kill someone, do something. And the man, what he did, he shot all these three, four people he killed. Then he took the gun and he shot himself. But now you see what happens. He realized now what he has done and he shot himself. Now his voice telling me about his stepfather. So Hazrat Ji saw this thing, he said, don't even let that anger come close to you. So they explain that, see, when there's a wrong that is done, right, then you think about it, what's the misdemeanor, what's the wrong? What's the wrong? For this type of wrong, what type of disciplinary action is to be taken? Right? See now, you thought now that I must shout him for 2 minutes, you know, shout him badly about what he's done. That's the crime that is committed, and this what is the solution, right? So now you don't shout him for 2 minutes, you shout him for 1 minute. So you are safe now, because when you were calm and you are composed, you try to work out the wrong and what type of a disciplinary action it requires. So your mind tells you, alright, it's about a 2 minute, I must really be able to give it to him. So after you understood the whole situation, now you composed, then you will give a disciplinary treatment less than what your mind had. So now you are safe. But the idea is not to respond spontaneously. You know, saw something impulsive, spontaneous, will create a problem. So someone has to drive and someone has to control. See, that your anger is going to drive, right? But your brains have to control you, right? So you see these two Buzhuwaradin, and he has to drive and he has to control, see that the thing is going well. Both are important. To drive it is also important and to control it is also important, right? Now that's why nowadays I have to tell people, you know, many a time to tell them, don't just confirm a proposal. Think about it carefully. Look at the person that is sending the proposal, understand properly, and then you confirm. Because sometimes the man is not right. Like yesterday I explained that Zubanadin would say that don't just give your daughter to a person that is graduated, matric or university, right? Because many a times his beliefs are not right. He's gone through a lot of things in school that were not consistent with our aqaid and beliefs. And nothing must be stuck in him. And when he's stuck in him, then is he in Islam or out of Islam? So they would say this type of thing, and that's what led them to say that for many people to learn English is haram. Not that the language was haram, but this is what it was leading them to. Like, there's a bar there, right? So you tell your son, you dare go to that place, I'll break your feet. But now, that child of yours says, you know, I want to go to that bar just to buy a bottle of Coke or a bottle of Sprite. I want to buy Sprite, right? So will you tell him, will you tell him that is right? Will you tell him? Don't tell him. Though it was permissible, but you're stopping him, you know why you're stopping him. So now, someone doesn't have this type of an understanding, can he give the right guidance? He can't. So the same now, sometimes his beliefs are not right, sometimes his ways are not right. In his personal self, his ways are not right. A lot of time I have to tell people that are just getting married, right, or they got 1 or 2 children, say, please, for Allah's sake, or don't start scolding. Because people with different capacities now compared to what they were, say, 50 years ago. Please don't. But sometimes it happens, you just are scolding, right? It may be a wrong, right? But their endurance level is very low. So very easily they can fall into a state of despondency, right? Then it can affect them. Now I'm seeing what's going on, see? People are not like what they used to be then. Then capacity was great, they put through the mill, go and pull out water from the well, go and chop the wood. So we saw that type of time also, alhamdulillah, we saw that time. And we're seeing all this mechanical zaman also, right? And we saw that time when that girl was about 9, 8 years of age, and she's put through the motion, wrap it up, put the whole kitchen up, right? So we saw that. Now you're seeing a girl at the age of 19, before 9, and she's not capable to run a house too. And now she was get into marriage. They don't have it. They didn't get that training. See. Now, man, just the looks, and then he fell for it, whatever comes with it. After a couple of days, he say, "Man, I'm missing my alim, I'm missing my samosa, and my bhajia." Right? And this thing here doesn't know anything. We had complaints coming here that she doesn't even know how to fry an egg. Hey, what do I do with this? You see that? So that whole style has changed. The temperaments, the capacity has... That time, they had all different type of foods. So But they ate different type of foods, they were strong. When this kalaji eating, they're eating kalaji. Now say, hey, kai kalaji. Then the doctor says you have to take some supplements, magnesium, all that, potassium, all this. You'll get kalaji. But they can't take the thing. You see that? They're not eating the foods. What they want is what? Burgers. Salami put into a bun, eat them. So that becomes your lunch. For all I understand, that salami or that patty that is placed in, that may be meat about 10 months old, right? For this, they put that fat and they put that marinade, whatever, right? Gave it the taste. And now, when the thing is frying, you get the smell. And it's because kaam karne ki zarurat nahi hai. Now, you have to make, for example, a pot of biryani, how much of effort? Do this, get this thing here. Now, that was the style that made you complete, right? Eating kari kichdi, eating beans, eating mug, eating masoor, or different varieties, it made a full person. Then the children also were trained up in that way. They were trained and they were made to eat. Now they're eating all this junk food, whether it's prepared at home or bought from the outside. But this is how they're eating, this is how they're living. So do they have the stamina? They don't have the stamina. So now one is this, that the boy may not be right. He may not be right. And sometimes he may be right, but the extended family is not right. See? Because now when you marry, as though you're getting married to an entire family. So the girl may be right, but the extended family, they'll give you problems. So you see all these things here, and then you make a commitment. I just saw the face, and you went for it. That's the style in this day, that you're just looking at the cover, the front must be right. And look at the front and then finish. Then you get people's preferences. Preferences are something different, totally different. There is another thing to mention and laugh about it, but now that email came out maybe 1 month ago. So the boy is complaining after 3 or 5 years of marriage. My wife says, I saw her, and her face was very, very beautiful, right? But after some time, after 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, I saw her legs, you know, I saw her feet. And I felt so nauseated now. I don't know what to do now. You see the preferences. Preferences are different, totally different. I had to just tell him, just to save the marriage, ask her to wear some stockings or something, that you only see the good side. Right? You don't see this side of it. Because it's already about 4 or 5 years of marriage. You may have got one child already. And now it's going to happen now. Then the second thing I told him, all right, you feeling nauseated about her feet, she may be feeling nauseated with your nose. And how are you going to marry the both? There'll be something you may be, she may be short of, something that you are short of. You're only looking at the short, at her short. You're not looking at. And you get this type of problems. Then you get a problem. I'm showing what happens now. The problems that come in now is not like before. Are they in the marriage? Both they met in school or university or whatever. Love, whatever, they got married. Now after they got married, then they became a little bit open and familiar with each other. Now he's gone into the bath and she's inspecting his phone. Right? And now a lot of these girls know how to hack. Someone learned forensic, and the forensics they teach you how to hack. Now that in that hacking, now you can see the person's whole history from the very beginning. Oh, we had so many boyfriends. Yeah, this was the person, that was the person. Now they're feeling insecure in the marriage. So now just to quell the whole thing, just to suppress the thing, so I have to give one ilzami jawab. So I say, you know what? Alright, you saw her past, you dig into her past, but if she has to dig in your past, she will also find something in you as well. You also was in university, in school, all that. You may have done something, right? Maybe not very, very, very major, but something you have done as well. Now, what right have you got just to look at her faults and ignore your faults? Al-Khabisatu lil-Khabisin wal-Khabisuna lil-Khabisat. You are absolutely pure, then you get a woman like that. But now, you are absolutely evil, then you get a woman like that. And you are a little bit mixed up, then you will get a person that's also a little bit mixed up. So now, she has to endure you, and you have to endure her. Right? Then I said, the best thing is, your both must make tawbah, and promise Allah Ta'ala that you will not revert to this type of habits. But what else can you say to the person? When you look for someone else, same thing, that person may be even worse. The boy may be worse, or the girl may be worse. But now, if you look at all these things here, then you can't end up. So, that's more time is up to see, you should show the anger, right? And there is support for it, there is basis for it in the hadith. Hazrat says, right, he's a khalifa, and he's following to the book, right? But he says, Ghusse pas na ane de. So that means that mashayikh must be mustahid as well. They must be able to use their discretion in the broader principles that they have learned from their mashayikh. They must understand how to apply it. I said, my buzuk did this, I must do exactly the same. No. You learn the broader principles, the changing times, then you can just change the methodology. We had on Ustadi a long time ago, 30 years ago, I started whacking the children. Say, don't do this, please. It's a criminal offense. So he said, no, but my elders did the same. Yes, you learn from your elders, but the application will change with times. Now it becomes a criminal problem. Right? That time it was all right. Now it becomes a criminal problem. Now you didn't understand this thing yet, and you just blew your talk. And now the police comes here, you're going to tell the story, my buzugan, they did this. Will you listen to the story? You don't want to listen to the story. So, overall, the hadith is allowing you to show some level of anger. So look at this hadith now. Someone asked about lost property. They asked about a goat. Laka aw li akhika aw li dhi'b. You could pick it up, right? Laka aw li akhika aw li dhi'b, right? So, in a lost property, with something small, you may pick it up, right? Then there's a whole process thereafter to be followed. How you'll advertise it, for how long you'll advertise it, and are you under any obligation to return it to the person that claims that it's his, so that the details come there, right? Now, this person finished. Now, another person is asking that for Dallatul Ibil, this was Dallatul Ghanam. Now, this was Dallatul Ibil. So when he asked about a lost camel, then ihmarrat wa jannatahu ma laka wa laha laha siqa'uha wa hiza'uha, right? Taridul ma wa ta'kulu min ash-shajar hatta ya'tiyaha rabbuha. See now, here the answer was different. Here Bishop gave a very composed answer, right? Here he expressed some dissatisfaction. Ihmarat wajaratahu, became red. Why became red? As the Shaykh Rahman says, the reason for him becoming red is that that question of yours was not appropriate. Right? If you use your brains a little bit, you know it's a big animal, right? It's a big, bulky animal, right? Then the process is not so complicated and difficult, because people can identify it very easily. Like, one is, in our terms, say, someone lost one Corolla, right? So you go and advertise it. You can take it and keep it right in front. Why? For the small thing. Right? Or someone lost one. Easy example is, he lost his bike, right? The bike was like a, you know, Checker 60 bike. He lost the thing, right? I keep the thing and follow the process. But now, someone comes up to you and says, you know, I lost my horse and trailer. Now, can you see? The horse and trailer, to get to the owner, isn't it easier? It's a big bulky thing. When it's a big bulky thing, then will there be any complication in trying to identify the owner? You won't. But this one here, there's going to be some problem in identifying the owner. Here, there's not going to be any difficulty in trying to identify the owner. So when there's no difficulty, then why do you have to ask that question? See that? See the horse trailer, horse and trailer, and like look at a bike, a small bike. Yeah, this can be a problem. Yeah, there's not going to be a problem. Right? Leave that thing, the owner will come and pick it up. It's not easy to go and take this thing here, right? To go and steal this thing here is a difficult thing. That this thing here is quite easy. So here you follow the process, here just leave it. The owner will come, he'll sort himself out. So the Shaykh Ibn Rahmah says, so there was a need to show anger, maybe some showed it. When there was no need, then he didn't show it. Right. Now, what Nabi Sam is doing here is asking, use your brains a little bit also. Why do you ask things that don't concern you? Right? Therefore, it brings you to that subject of ma la ya'ani, right? This whole chapter is carrying on. And the whole world is involved in this. Now, as you see, when the whole world is involved, right? And things that don't concern you. You know, all this muhaddithin, and started from Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, they condensed the entire deen into approximately 4 or 5 hadiths. So as though there's 4 or 5 hadiths, if you say 4, then 1 hadith is like quarter of deen. 2 hadiths will be like half the deen. So they are so important, so integral, right? That they will form like one quarter of deen, right? Each hadith. That 4 hadith is, one is to get the niyat right. Innamal amal. The second one is al halal bayyin wal haram bayyin, right? Halal and haram are clear. And in between you get grey areas, doubtful areas, just avoid. You be careful. Second. So now these two will form half the deen. And the third hadith أَيُحِبَّ لِأَخِي مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِي. Right? To like for your brother what you like for yourself. Right? Imam Abu Hanifa says these 5. So he adds one more. And he says that al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimun min lisani wa yadi, right? Others say it's 4, because this one here al-yuhibba li-akhik also covers this hadith as well. So therefore they say it's 4 and he says it's 5. And the last one is min husni islam al-mar, that leave out things that don't concern you, right? So now if your niyat is right, and he's saying that each hadith represents one quarter, that means your relationship with Allah Ta'ala will be right. See that huququllah will be right when your niyat is right. Right? And anything you are going into, you're looking at your niyat properly, correctly, so your ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala will be right. Right? Then, if you look at أَيُّحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ, then the huququl ibad, the rights of people, you'll be careful about. See that? Here the rights of Allah Ta'ala, here the rights of people. Right? That's why I say one hadith is representing one quarter of deen. Right? Imam Abu Hanifa added one because he saw how people were flouting rights, people's rights. So he said, for the rights of people, he used 2 hadiths. يحب لي أخي and من كان يؤمن بالله من سليم المسلمون من لساني ويدي both right so he saw the need for that so he saw he's seeing how many fights jagra arguments problems right so he saw this and therefore he to further emphasize this he brought two hadiths instead of one right and the last one was about la ya'ni right husni islam So now if you got that under control, then you are in control of your time. See, you have control, you have seen the rights of Allah Ta'ala, right? You've seen the rights of people, right? Then you are in control of your time. Because the time is the capital. No time, you can't do anything. Can you do anything? Time is gone. Finished now. Can't do it. Fajr namaz time is gone. Can you perform the Fajr time now? Because of So now, this is a major, major problem. People don't know how to manage their time. Now, many a times, they will get into discussions that don't relate to them. It doesn't relate to you. What's the need for you to get into it? Does it concern you? Does it concern your dunya? Does it concern your akhirat? Or you ask yourself, are you in a position, do you have the capacity to guide the person correctly. You're not in a position, tell the person, I'm not in a position to guide you. You go to this Mawlana or go to this one here. He may be in a better position to guide you. But you're referring to me, I don't know about it. He may feel sulky about it, but you saved yourself. Now, you listen to any person's problem, every person's problem, you don't have the capacity. And now then you have to say something, right? Then, won't you complicate the thing? You don't have the capacity to finish. It may be a small stroke and you don't know about it. So you make a big noise about it. Or it may be a small little thing, a small adjustment, and you get the whole thing right. But you don't have the understanding how to deal with that Islam. Say, I don't know. I don't know about it, please go refer to someone else. He may feel bad, but it will save you from a lot of problems. My marhum mother used to say, Rahmatullah Alayha, she would say that if someone is telling you something, right, you don't even nod, because if you're nodding, that means you are confirming. So, he also agreed to my problems. I'm shocked at this. So, Mufti also was shocked about it. They'll misuse you. So you don't show any type of expression, not facial and not verbal. When you don't know how to handle the thing, no facial and not even verbal. Because you know that person, what he's going to do? He may just use you. Now, that person is complaining about, he may hear the whole story, what's that called? But why Mustafa didn't listen to my side of the story? He just got shocked on this side here. He didn't listen to my story. But you see, the complication will bring up. So the simple thing is, I don't know how to handle these things here. And go give it to someone else, and he will see to you. But how many problems you will avoid, right? So there was some popular person in the day of Imam Thami Sahib Rahmatullahi. So someone came and asked, he wanted to discuss with you. So you all had that discussion. Yes, we had that discussion. So I want to know, what was the discussion all about? Right. So one asked him, does that discussion relate to your deen? Does it relate to your dunya? No, it doesn't relate. So why do you ask? It's not important to you, because it doesn't relate to your deen. No, to me it's important. But when it doesn't relate to your deen, it doesn't relate to your dunya, then you don't need to know about it. End of the story. But I used to be friends with everybody and tell them everything, right? This side story, you've got to relate that side story, you're going to give this side. And I spoke about information, that look at it whether it's agreeable or not agreeable. Look at it that it concerns your deen, it doesn't concern your deen. You're not going to ask about it, you're going to have some problems, right? Dunya or deen. Right? You have some problems, then ask about it, right? Now you bought some, you're interested in buying something, but now you're not sure about the ingredients, right? There were some codes that they use in the ingredients, you know. This numbers, that numbers. So they use some codes. But now you don't know whether it's clean. Now it relates to your deen. If you're not going to ask, you're going to get affected, right? It's stunned animal, not stunned animal, whatever, right? So the one that knows about it, you ask him. Maybe the Jamiat, someone who knows about these things here, the code numbers, said, you can ask them, is this right for me to eat? They may have made the whole research. It will make your life easy, right? So those things that concern your deen, then you must ask. But it doesn't concern your deen, why must you? Why are you so afraid to eat? What are you going to get out of it? And each person will tell you, there's an altercation, there's a dispute, or there's an argument, then each person will tell you his side of the story. Now what is the truth? Where the truth lies, do you know? That's why they say, there's always three sides to a story, not two sides. One is your side, one is the opposition side, and one is the right side. Right? There's always three sides. So you heard this side, you heard that side. What was the right side? You don't have to make it out. So Allah Pak has made different people to handle different things. Right? And, you know, these things are so abundantly clear, you laugh, you know. You'll see sometimes on the road, right? Monkeys are sitting, and one will be down, it will sit down, and the other one will be pulling out lice from his back. So every monkey is not trained to pull out lice. Right? Some know the art of how to pull it out. Now, if every monkey thinks that monkey do, monkey do, monkey see, monkey do, what will happen? What will happen? There will be problems. So this one is trained, it knows, alright, how to pull out the lice out of the body. So it's doing what it knows. But it doesn't know about it, say, I don't know about it. I know how to eat, I know how to sleep, you ask me about that, I can tell you. But other things I can't guide you. And life becomes so, so simple, so, so easy. So it doesn't involve, it doesn't. Some Buzuganadi were such that they got involved in one statement, Layani. Like, example now, I saw a new building, right? There was no building here since when it came up. Or does it concern you? So he asked some question like that. When he asked some question like that, he said, but that doesn't concern my deen, it doesn't concern my akhirat. And after all, everybody has got a right to build when there's a need. So there was a need, he built. So why did he have to ask this question? So, for that misdemeanor, you know, I told that these four of these represent, each one represent one quarter of your deen. Right? They're encapsulating it for lazy people like us. That just you keep seeing into the mirror of this four of these. Doing anything, filter it. Niyat, halal, haram, al-Muslimun, Salim al-Muslimun, and Malayani. Anything you need to check properly, see properly. And if you are not clear, then ask someone. But I say, but don't ask 20 people. Ask 1-2 person that you are sure about, clear. So, you don't have a confused mind. Right? Then there may be different things that you can ask different people. A lot of times, I get questions of, you know, Masla Masail. Now, that again is a complicated thing, right? Now, one side you're doing your Islah, and then you're through Masail. Sometimes I give the answers, so I say, hey, Mufti Zakaria, Murisuf, go and ask them. Because both have got like different mizajas. Islah things got a different requirement, and this Masail got a different requirement. When the whole things are both operate differently, if you're going to mix it up, it's not too easy to answer. Sometimes I answer it, but the right procedure is, here you refer to someone, so you'll find these people, in the mutaqaddimin also will say, in fiqh this is the person I would refer to, in tasawuf this one, in masail pertaining to grammar etc. I refer to this one. So everybody's fine with it, nobody's got any problem. In my personal Islah, Reformation, correction, I'll ask him. Right? In matters of fiqh, etc., I'll ask this imam. In matters of grammar, etc., I would refer to this one. What's wrong with it? After all, in our health problems also, we have the same usul, right? I got a problem, what do I do? So there you'll see a doctor or a specialist doctor or a heart surgeon or whatever else, right? So you make mashwara with that person. Here you make mashwara with someone else. So he is specialized in this one here, he is specialized in that. So whoever specialized in whatever field, you will not refer to him. So what's wrong with that? But now, you will ask 10 doctors about the same thing, then 10 doctors will give you 10 different opinions, right? And then that will add to your confusion. First you see, alright, which doctor seems to be better. How you see who's better is that you see his history, the patients that come to him, and how it works, right? Works well, the recovery rate is very good. Then you will go to the person, you make out like that. So in deen also, the person are you going for your reformation, you see, alright, what's the quality of the deen of the people that come to him? Is it improving? Are they coming such that they can also, they understand it, they can also dispense hidayat, they can give some understanding and direction? So what is the history of the people that see him? So you see a good track record, you know, right? Then you see if your temperaments are right, you're both on the same wavelength, then bismillah, start off. So now you're talking about layani, and so much of time goes into this layani. Someone has to know, right, there was a problem in China, now what was the problem, what happened? You don't even know who is the prime minister of Japan. What a guna kabira that is. But is that, does that concern you? You don't know America, who's the mastan there, right? So you don't know about it now. You don't know this much also. Which planet you're living in? See? So those things that are, that relate to you, your life, day-to-day life, your deen, your dunya, what you need to know about, then you ask. So I say, for us it's better that you find out what is the price of sunfoil oil here and what is the price of sunlight soap this side here. I think that discussion goes well, because at least you'll get some benefit. But now you know who's the prime minister there, who's this thing here, and your basic things you don't know. The attahiyyat you can't pronounce rightly, right? The dua'i kunut you don't know still rightly. Yeah. Surah Fatiha, you can't recite the ayin, the ha, you can't pronounce right. All these basic things you don't know, and you're asking these secondary things, is that the right thing? You got so many loads of qaza, and you haven't yet completed your qaza, and you're getting involved with these things here, as though you're saying, no, me, I got all my akhirat, everything right now, it's just a matter for me to take the vehicle to death. Just to jump onto the vehicle of death. As though you're saying, I'm complete, everything I've done. But when you're still preparing, then understand that you're still in the state of preparation, and I need to prepare for this. Don't pretend like as though my preparations have all been done, and I'm just in the transit lounge, just to board. Allahu Akbar.